So we are discussing, or we're going to chant the wonderful shlokas of Bhagavad Gita from chapter 2, and we dedicate this presentation or this yajna and also this Q&A session to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is our spiritual master, because of whom we have understood so many things, you know, from this wonderful Shastra, Bhagavad Gita. So let's understand the Mahatmya first. Every session we'll try to understand the Mahatmya of what we're going to do, the importance of what we're going to do, and then, you know, we will chant the shlokas. So I'm reading directly from the Bhagavad Gita. So this is in the introduction. The ones who have the PDF, you can see the introduction, the last page of the introduction. Very beautiful shloka. This comes in Gita Mahatmya, shloka 4. So this says, Bharatamrita sarvasvam Vishnu vaktrad vihinishrutam Gita gangodakam pitva punarjanmana vidyate. So here it is given that one who drinks the water of Ganga, gangodaka pitva, one who drinks the waters of Ganga attains salvation. Obviously, that has got prerequisite. It's not just going to some place where Ganga is flowing and drinking the water. One should have intense faith also. But along with that, if suppose someone has intense faith and someone drinks the water, he attains salvation. But then, here when it comes to Gita, Gita gangodakam pitva punarjanmana vidyate, just by drinking the waters of Ganga, like the person attains salvation. Similarly, just by chanting the shlokas of Gita, applying the principles of Bhagavad Gita in our life, surely the person will attain the supreme destination, and that is breaking the cycle of birth and death. So now for the next 10 to 12 minutes, the shlokas that we're going to chant, these are not ordinary shlokas. These have emanated directly from the lotus mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And when we are chanting these shlokas, when we are hearing these shlokas, we have to understand we are hearing Krishna directly. So let's start with the shloka recitation. Let me...
Kaschirenam Ascharyavad Vadati Tadheva Chanyaha Ascharyavad Chainam Anyashrunoti Shrutvapyenam Vedana Jaiva Kaschir Dehi Nityamavadyoyam Dehe Sarvasya Bharata Tasmat Sarvani Bhutani Natvam Shochitum Arhasi Swadharma Mapicha Vekcha Navikam Pitum Arhasi Dharmyadhi Yuddhat Feyonyad Kshatriyasya Navidyate Yadrichaya Chopapannam Swargadwaram Apavratam Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yuddhami Drisham Atha Chetvamimam Dharmyam Sangramam Nakarishyasi Tata Swadharmam Kirtincha Hitva Papam Avapsyasi Akirtincha Pibhutani Katayishyanti Devyayam Sambhavitasya Chakirtin Maranadati Richyate Bhayadranaduparatam Mamsyante Tvam Maharathaha Yesham Chatvam Bahumato Bhutvayasya Silaghavam Avachya Vadamscha Bahum Vadishyanti Tavahitaha Nindantastava Samarthyam Tato Dukhataram Nukim.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you. everyone for your kind attention and recitation. So now let's move on to the Q&A, the exclusive Q&A session. And around 8:15 or 8:20, we will stop and do mantra meditation. So today we'll do for a bit longer time because many participants are requesting, can we have a longer mantra meditation? So we'll do that today. We'll try to do it a bit longer, maybe more than 5 minutes. So let me take some questions. Now, before that, can I have all the participants posting Hare Krishna here? There are already many who have already posted. So all the ones who have not posted, can I have your greetings, please? I'm really very glad that people from all over India and from many different parts of the world are joining these sessions. In fact, participants from out of India, I heard that they're getting up at morning 5:30 to attend these sessions. And I'm really touched, you know, by your gesture of sincerity of coming here and attending the session. Thank you very much. In fact, that makes me very nervous. So I've been giving sessions for quite some time, but then whenever I see more sincere people, I get nervous because I always think if I'll be able to do justice to the time that they're investing. So thank you once again, you know, for you know, all your greetings and your attention. Okay. So let me start with the Q&A for today. Okay. So there have been a lot of questions again, you know, from different categories. So volunteers have helped me to categorize, you know, these questions. So we'll discuss different categories. We'll discuss the first category, that is Gita. And then we'll proceed with the category of life, then chanting, then karma. So these are the four, and Mahabharata is also there as the fifth category. So we'll do that. So I would like to close the... okay, chat is already closed. Thank you. Okay, the first question, you know, here it's from Lokanath. He's asking, at every point of Arjuna's confusion, Lord Sri Krishna was physically present to guide him. In this Kali Yuga, we are living with so much of confusion and problem in decision making in every step. In which form Lord Sri Krishna appears to rescue us while in danger? Well, that's a very wonderful question from Lokanath. And Shrita Binod, she also has a similar question. Celebrated personalities have pronounced that Bhagavad Gita gives the solution for all problems. They have quoted that by randomly opening a page, they get the answers sought by them. When I try, only answer I get is Krishna is Supreme Bhagavan and concepts of detachment. How should I use Bhagavad Gita as the guide for decision making? So these are two wonderful questions. So let me address these two. So when it comes to Kurukshetra, the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there Arjuna was there on the chariot, and along with him was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So it's a very nice thing, you know, to understand that Krishna was there personally with Arjuna, but we are not away from Krishna. Because when Krishna ascended back to Vaikuntha, he left behind a very important thing for all of us. You know what he left behind for all of us? He left behind for all of us, first, his holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Second, he left behind Bhagavad Gita. He reappeared in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this Kali Yuga, we might be feeling that we are not getting the direct association of Krishna. But the fact is, we all have direct association of Krishna, because Krishna has incarnated in Nama Avatar, the first avatar in the age of Kali, that is Nama Avatar, in the form of his holy name. That is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the second avatar that Krishna has appeared in the age of Kali to help all of us is Granthavatar. So Granthavatar, you know, basically means he has appeared in the form of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavad Gita are the teachings of Lord Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is basically the case studies wherein all the teachings of Bhagavad Gita are applied by various devotees. So various devotees of Krishna, they have implemented the principles of Bhagavad Gita and shown by example how to implement the same, how to depend on Krishna, how to lead a very, very holistic life, and so on and so forth. So when it comes to us, in fact, I would say we are more fortunate. See, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, only Arjuna got the association of Krishna, isn't it? So only Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita. But look at us. Look at us, how fortunate we all are. Today we have around 281 participants. Everyone together got to hear Bhagavad Gita. And all around the world, there are lakhs of people who chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. All of them are getting direct association of Krishna. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, so for us, you know, Krishna has come back again in the form of Nama Avatar and Grantha Avatar. Now it's up to us how much we associate with Krishna. To answer the next question, that we hear that Bhagavad Gita has got solutions to all the problems. Yes, Bhagavad Gita has got solutions to all the problems. But the thing is, we need to come to that platform to understand Bhagavad Gita. That is very, very important. So all of us are at different platforms when it comes to consciousness level, when it comes to spiritual level. So we are at different levels as of now. So we have to come to certain level to understand the various aspects of Bhagavad Gita. And that is possible, you know, by our sincere endeavor to understand Bhagavad Gita. And all of you have proved your sincerity by logging in on a weekday to attend an exclusive Q&A session. You have proved your sincerity. So this sincerity has to continue. This has to be continued. So when we continue the sincerity day in and day out, what happens is the mercy of the Lord flows and we'll be able to understand the secrets, the open secrets of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is there everywhere. You just Google it, you'll find Bhagavad Gita as it is. PDF versions are available. Some recitations are available. So all that is available. But then, what makes a difference? Like, for example, we have the frequency in the sky. We have the frequency around us. So even now, all of us are surrounded by, say, you know, infinite number of frequencies. But only when we tune to a particular frequency, we'll be able to hear whatever is carried in that frequency. Similarly, we have to tune ourselves. We have to tune ourselves to the frequency of Bhagavad Gita. Currently, our frequency is matching with this material world, this world wherein we feel that we'll get happiness. No, we are trying to tune our frequency to all that. But then, the day we tune our frequency to the frequency of Bhagavad Gita by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, surely, you know, whenever you open Bhagavad Gita, all the questions will be answered. All the questions will be answered for sure. So it's not about a superstition. It's not about some illogical thought, but it's very, very scientific. It's very, very scientific. To get the answers of Bhagavad Gita, we have to tune ourselves to the frequency of Bhagavad Gita. And surely, now everyone will get benefited by this. Same question I had, to be very frank, same question I had. How is it possible that Bhagavad Gita gives answers to all the questions? In fact, I almost come from an atheistic background, I would say. So, not having complete faith in the Shastra, thinking, okay, you know, some sentiment is there and things like that. And at home, my parents would say that, oh, you should worship God. If you don't, then you'll be punished. So maybe out of fear, I was doing. But then when I started reading Bhagavad Gita scrutinizingly with the help of my superiors, my spiritual masters, it was really very, very beneficial. And I could literally feel, understand that how every question of life is answered in Bhagavad Gita. That's what we're discussing, right, in our Gita course. We have just covered two sessions. And the first two sessions were just a prerequisite, I would say, to Bhagavad Gita. But now, next session onwards, the coming Sunday, the session that we're going to have, you'll see that just by understanding the different concepts of Bhagavad Gita, you know, most of the questions will be answered in life. Most of the questions. So this is my challenge to everyone. Anyone who attends these sessions attentively, it's not just logging in and doing some work here and there, having dinner, cooking, washing clothes. Attentively, sitting at one place and hearing attentively, you know, whatever is discussed. If you do that, trust me, now you'll be able to understand and get the answers to various critical questions of life, which no one can answer. No one can answer. Only Bhagavad Gita can answer. So hope this answers your question. The one-line answer to your question is, first, we have to tune to the frequency of Bhagavad Gita. And that is possible by every day chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because currently, you know, our frequency is matching with this material frequency. But then when we start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on a daily basis, our frequency will start matching with the spiritual frequency. And then it will be very easy for us to understand Bhagavad Gita. So hope this answers your question. Let me take one more question from Gita. So this is by Nilanchala Sahu. So this question is, if we all start believing on spiritualism of Hinduism, including all our Vedas and Upanishads, then what about countries who does not have any religion at all? Also, other religions has different belief system or supreme soul. How do we understand this? What is their existence or how they are going to understand the meaning of life? What is the existence of other countries and religions in our Vedas and Upanishads? This question I get from many of my friends when we discuss on spiritualism. I somehow manage and go away from this query as I do not have any particular answer for it. Okay, so let me help you out with this. Again, I also had this question in my initial days of Krishna consciousness. So when it comes to various different religions, let's try to understand this. This I'll not be covering in the Gita course because this is a very basic thing. I normally cover these concepts in college sessions when I address college students, engineering students. So I take these different aspects. One religion or many religions, one God, many God, does God exist? You know, these are the topics that I discuss with students, college students. So just a glimpse, you know, from that session. So one religion or many religions, let's understand this. If you take the essence of all the religions have only one essence. That is love God, surrender to God. So when it comes to Islam, what does Islam mean? Islam means surrender. When it comes to Christianity, now you see what is the message they talk about. Love your neighbor, thou yourself. Love your neighbor like yourself. Love God. They also talk about the same. You take any of the other religions, any of the other prominent religions which are bona fide, not some concocted religions. I'm talking about bona fide religions which have their own scriptures, bona fide scriptures given by the prophets, that is the messengers of God. So all those religions, the messages those are given are very bona fide. And if anyone follows that, yes, you know, they'll be able to understand many things. In fact, when it comes to, I'll just talk about Islam and Christianity because they are the majority or they are the, I would say, the primary religion along with Hinduism all over the world. So when it comes to Islam or when it comes to Christianity, both the prophets have made this statement in both these holy books. They have said that I want to give you more, but you're not in a position to understand. You can refer this in both the holy books, this is mentioned. So according to the time, place, circumstance, prophets, they actually give the knowledge. Like for example, let me give you a mundane example of this world, then you'll be able to understand better. So now I go to, say, a junior KG student or a first standard student who has just started studying ABCD, 1, 2, 3, 4. I go to him and then I ask him that, can you tell me A plus B, the whole square is what? A small kid will look at me like this. Teacher has not taught me this. The same question, you know, you ask a fifth standard kid or a sixth standard kid, maybe, no, or not 10th standard kid, maybe he'll be able to answer. And the same question you ask a person who is doing specialization or PhD in mathematics, you go and ask that person, he'll look at you like this. What do you think? I'm doing PhD. I'm not a 10th standard student or so. But if you ask calculus, no, maybe, you know, people are doing engineering and PhD, they might be able to give more depth, more deeper answers. So depending on what is the level of people, we need to give them whatever is needed, right? Then they'll be able to imbibe, they'll be able to understand. Like to a first standard kid, if I teach 1 plus 1, and that too, like this, I have to teach 1 plus 1, 2. Now I cannot just explain the way I want. Now I have to explain in their own language. I have to explain to their level. And then when it comes to 10th standard kid, I need not explain 1 plus 1 equal to 2. Yes, I need to explain in a higher language. Yes, in a higher level. And for a PhD, you know, maybe in a much higher level, you know, where we have to refer to some research papers and things like that. Similar is Now, when it comes, similar is the message given by God through the prophets to various different categories of people. Like, for example, in Quran, there is one, I guess in fifth surah, this statement is made that one should not have sex with one's mother and sister. Now, if you properly analyze, when it comes to Sanatan Dharma, when it comes to the Vedic religion, having sex with mother and sister, no, it's very, very abominable. How can someone think of having sex with mother and sister? Isn't it? So there is no question of thinking that. But then the circumstance when the prophet gave the message at that time, so circumstance was like that where people were having sex with mother and sister. So they had to mention this in the holy book that one shouldn't. One shouldn't. It was very clear. Very clear. And then if you refer Bhagavad Gita talks a very, very high level. There is no question of, you know, dealing with this one very, very low level statement saying one shouldn't have sex with mother and sister. Now, when it comes to Bible again, you see, again in Bible, you know, this statement is given that one should love the neighbor thy yourself. One should love the neighbor like yourself. One should pray for daily bread. Now, if you see the situation in which, you know, this religion came up, 1,200, 1,300 years back, and Islam came around 2,500 or something years back. And when it comes to Bhagavad Gita, it is given 5,000 years back. In fact, Krishna says, now when Arjuna is asking some questions, so at that time Krishna is saying that I gave this at the start of creation to Vivaswan, the sun god. And now since with time it has deteriorated, I'm repeating it again. So Bhagavad Gita is existing from time of creation, the dawn of creation, right? So the point is that all these principles which are mentioned in different holy books, all that you'll find in Bhagavad Gita. In fact, all that you'll find in a higher version, in a very high level in Bhagavad Gita. Like for example, now in other holy scriptures it is given that there are I want to tell you more, but I cannot tell you because you'll not be able to understand. But then here Krishna makes it very clear to Arjuna. He says that whatever I have given you is complete. That's what Krishna makes a statement in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever I have given you is complete. And Krishna gives an ultimate solution. He says, Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha ishyami vasucha. Just surrender on to me. I'll take care of you. This is the end of the story. Look at the solution what Krishna is giving. But then, you know, when it comes to other religions, yes, slowly and steadily, the things are given. And anyone who follows that religiously, very properly, they will be elevated to higher platform, higher spiritual platform. They'll be able to realize God. Yes. But then, unfortunately, various places, you know, what to talk about other religions, even when it comes to Hinduism, so much of contamination has come. So much of adulteration is happening. Because people don't know what is the essence of it. Yes. People are more focusing on, oh, okay, so my nakshatra is this and I was born at this time. As of now, Sade Sati is going on. My time is not going well. So I should do this puja. I should do that puja. That is not spirituality. That is just, you know, just twisting and turning the situations of life. That's it. But that is not going to take us anywhere closer to Krishna. That is not going to help us to break the cycle of birth and death. So what is the essence of scriptures? That has to be understood. So all the religions give some essence, you know, to understand. And when people from that particular religion follow that religiously, they'll be able to move to the higher platform. But let me make a statement that everything that is given in other scriptures or other holy books, everything is there in Bhagavad Gita. Everything is there in Vedic Shastra. Nothing is out of the Vedic Shastra. I'm very proud to make this statement. Other religious holy books are like the pocket dictionaries. Whereas Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like the chamber dictionary. Everything in pocket dictionary is included in the chamber's dictionary. Yes. And this I'm telling after studying some parts of each of it. So this is the answer for your question. So all the religions, the bona fide religions, if anyone follows it very nicely, they'll be elevated to a higher platform of spirituality for sure. But then when it comes to Sanatan Dharma, when it comes to following Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the topmost. You see other religions, again, one more point I would like to make. What do other religions aim for? Max to max, they aim for heaven, isn't it? They say Jannat or they say heaven. And they want to somehow rescue themselves from what? Jahannum or hell. But then when it comes to Sanatana Dharma, we hardly talk about Swarga. So when it comes to Sanatana Dharma, we talk about breaking the cycle of birth and death, going away from this material world to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world. So it is described in Shastra that there are 14 planetary systems. So it's like Bhuloka, then Bhuvar Loka, then Swar Loka, Swarga Loka, then Mahar Loka, Jana Loka, Tapa Loka, and Brahma Loka. So we have got 7 planetary systems, and then below we have got other 7 planetary systems, like different planetary systems like Rasatal, then Patal, and you know, so on, Talatala, and so on. You know, we have got 7 planetary systems. And apart from these 14 planetary systems, there is one exclusive planet called Hellish Planet, where different punishments are given to sinful people. But then when we are talking from Bhagavad Gita, we are talking about a very, very higher aspect. Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita that, what is that? Natad bhashayate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha yadgatva na nivartante taddhama paramam mama. So Krishna is saying, in my world, in my abode, there is no need of sun. There is no need of moon. Natad bhashayate suryo, that is sun, and na shashanka, no moon. So he's saying no need of sun and moon there. And anyone who reaches to that planet, that person will never come back to this material world, the world of suffering. So see the goal also, see the goals are so high in when it comes to Sanatana Dharma. We aim at breaking the cycle of birth and death. We are not interested in Swarga and you know all these things. Why? Again, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravritana Arjuna. So he's saying that even if someone goes to Brahma Loka, which is the topmost planet in the material world, the person has to come down when his karma credits finishes. He has to come down to this material world. This earthly planet, this Bhuloka. So, in Bhagavad Gita, in Sanatana Dharma, now we talk about breaking the cycle of birth and death. So, goal is very, very high. Because, you know, Arjuna was qualified. You know, Krishna is giving this message directly. Why? Why are you talking about Jannat and Jahannam? So, you know, Krishna is directly talking about the spiritual world. And you tell me in Christianity, in Islam and other religions, where do they talk about the form of the Lord? Because it's, you know, I was talking to some of the people. So they were very clear. You know, they're very humble, very honest. And I really admire all of them. Many of my friends I've got in other religions. So it helps me to discuss, you know, interreligious faith concepts. So, you know, few of them, they were actually sharing that it's very clearly given in the holy books that we'll not be able to understand the form of the Lord. So it is not mentioned. Right? So that is the reason there is no form that is mentioned. So Jesus always said that, you know, I have an eternal father. And then when it comes to you know, people from Islam, they talk about Allah. You know, they talk about the strongest. So they talk about the strongest. And when it comes to Jesus, he talks about the most merciful. But when it comes to Sanatana Dharma, we talk about Krishna, who has got all the 6 opulences. Let me tell you all the 6 opulences. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashriyaha. Jnana vairagyoschaiva sannam bhaga itingana. So this is a definition of Bhagavan given in Shastra. So what is the definition of Bhagavan? What is the definition of Supreme Personality of Godhead? The ones who has got 6 opulences in full. What are the 6 opulences? That is Shri, wealth. Then this beauty, knowledge, strength, fame, renunciation. So these are the 6 opulences, you know, which Bhagavan Shri Krishna has, right? So one of that opulence is described, you know, in other religions. So in this way we see, you know, I think I've given enough description of how Sanatana Dharma is inclusive of all the other religions, all the other religions. So, but then when it comes to us, we have to respect all the religions from the heart and we have to follow what is given to us in Bhagavad Gita, very, very religiously. In fact, now since the topic has come, let me make this point very clear. In fact, other religious people are much better than us. Much better than Hindus. Yes. When it comes to Christianity, they know Bible right from childhood. When it comes to Islam, they know Quran right from childhood. But when it comes to Hindus, at least I did not know Bhagavad Gita from childhood. I was unfortunate. I didn't know. Only in my first year of engineering, I came in touch with ISKCON, and then I was fortunate, you know, to start understanding Bhagavad Gita in my first year of engineering, which is very late, Yeah. So we are not taught because, you know, elders don't know what they will teach the kids. What they will teach the kids. So it's a very unfortunate situation of Hindus. Let me be very frank. Very unfortunate. In fact, we'll have an exclusive session called Lost Wealth. Now, there I'll make some very, very important points regarding how can we revive this culture? How can we revive? How can we help the next generation? And so on and so forth. So the bottom line is that the bona fide religions which are there, if they follow the principles given in their holy books, they'll be elevated to a higher level. And everything that is given in all the other scriptures, all the other holy books, that is there already in our Vedic scriptures, especially in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So I hope this answers your question. I have given a very elaborate answer for the last 15 minutes. Let me move on to the next question. Now let's move on to the section called life questions. So these are personal questions, so I'll not name the person. So the question says, how to overcome the hurtful criticism and stress that come from our loved ones? How can we come over family betrayals and family jealousy and always trying to harm us kind of people? Yeah. So I think in the last session, I gave a glimpse of it already. There was one similar question which was asked to me on WhatsApp. Someone volunteer had texted me someone's question. So some similar question was there. And what was that question? That question says that now when it comes to chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to chant it loudly, we feel shy. What is the reason? So this was the question that was asked. And also the today's whatever two questions I mentioned. So I would like to give answer to that as well. So maybe the essence I would like to speak. See, one thing we have to understand that whom are we living our life for? This has to be very clear. Why these criticisms are affecting us? Why, these different situations are hurting us? And why, people when they misbehave with us, that is hurting us? Why all these things? And why we feel shy to follow our own religion? You see, when it comes to Islam, you'll see people wearing the topi, and then they go around. And when it comes to Christianity, they wear the cross and they go around. But when it comes to Hindus, putting the tilak, is a big thing. What will people think about me? What will they think about? Or if I wear dhoti kurta, if I wear sari, what will people think about me? They will say, I'm out of fashion. Come on. This is such a stupid thinking. Yes. Why, Because we are living our life for impressing people around. That's the most unfortunate and abominable thing that we're doing. We want to impress people around. We are actually living our life for that. But the point is, we have to live our life for ourselves. We have to live our life for giving pleasure, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to live our life for that, not for impressing people around. And tell me, suppose, let me modify the goal of life. Suppose the goal of life is to impress people around. Tell me, will we be able to impress everyone around? Is it possible? Here, when it comes to spouses, the husband and wife, they're staying together for such a long time and they're not able to impress each other and satisfy each other. The wife would, after some time, she would tell the husband, what have you done for me? And husband might ask the same question back. And after taking care of kids for 25 years and so on, finally the kids, when they become elderly, they ask their old parents, what did you do for me? So when we are staying in the family, we are not able to impress or we are not able to satisfy people. Now, what are we thinking of satisfying people around? Let's forget about that. Let's forget about impressing people around. It's not possible. It's not possible to impress anyone in this world. Not possible at all. Because everyone's expectation is extremely high. Extremely high. Everyone is craving. Everyone is searching for something in each other. Everyone is searching for that love. Everyone is searching for that peace and satisfaction in other people. But then, if I myself don't have, how can I give it to others? And when I'm not able to give that to others, people feel very sad and very morose. Yes. The point that I'm trying to make is that we cannot impress people around. We should actually give up this endeavor of impressing people around. Not possible at all. So what are we supposed to do? Try to focus on the goal of life. And the goal of life is to break the cycle of birth and death. You know why we get hurt with small, small things in our life? Let me tell you a very simple thing. Some of your relative comes to your place and just gives bad words to you. and we take it to our heart. Why did he speak to me like this? I've done so much for this person, but still, why did he speak to me like this? Are he has just spoken, right? What's the problem? Why are we taking that to our heart? You know why? Because we don't have a higher goal in life. We have a very short, small goal in our life. What is that small goal? What is that short, tiny, chutku goal in our life? That is impressing people around. Oh, I want to impress that relative, that person, this colleague, this friend. That's what is in our entire existence. We want to make sure that, we are better than people around. But what are we going to do that? What are we going to do by proving to others how great I am? Is it that when they give a certificate, a stamp on us, that you are a great person, will become great? We will not become great like that. We will become great only when we get qualification to break the cycle of birth and then we'll become great. Okay, even if you're able to impress people around, satisfy people around, tell me, at the time of death, will these people come to save you and rescue you? Then why are we giving so much importance to people around? Okay, we will do our duty. We'll do the needful to help others. But we'll not take to our heart what people are telling and what people are doing. Because our goal is different. Our goal is to break the cycle of birth and death. Yes, we want to get moksha. We want to break the cycle of birth and death. Get rid of this dukkhalaya mashashvatam. So when our goal is high, when the vision is really far and very high, so at that time, these small things will not matter. Simple example I'll give you and I'll end this answer. When a small child is crying for toys, suppose a small child is playing with the toys and you take away one toy and you keep it behind. So the child will start crying, crying badly. Where is my toy? Where is my toy? And start crying and weeping and banging his head and hands and legs on the ground, isn't it? And we, people who are elders, we would look at that person and say, hey, crying for toy. Yes, crying for toy, because the goal of that child is toy. And for us as elders, our goal is something higher. Similarly, when we grow in spiritual life, when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and elevate our consciousness, you know what happens? All the ones who are crying because of small things will feel like, crying for toys? This will be our attitude. And when someone tells us something, it will be like someone taking a toy, our childhood toy from us. And we'll be like, okay, take it. I don't want anyways. I'm not using it. So this is a mood. This is an attitude that a person gets when a person practices bhakti by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and applying principles of Bhagavad Gita in life. This is what is very, very important. This is what is the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever I spoke till now, this is what is the understanding of various shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. So in this way, again, the bottom line, one line answer is we have to elevate our consciousness to a higher level. And when we do that and aim for something higher in life, keeping the goal as breaking the cycle of birth and death. So when we have a higher goal and when we elevate ourselves to a higher realm, higher level of spirituality, we will be looking at people from this level and people are here. In fact, we will not get hurt by these people. We will start feeling sympathy towards these people that you're still stuck. You're still stuck in this day-to-day life, in day-to-day affairs. I hope I was able to give you a satisfying answer. And I tried my best to give you whatever understanding I can give. Okay, let me take some more questions. This is from live questions. So this is how to control negative thoughts, how to convert negative thoughts to positive. What to do when failure happens again and again? My family tends to lose faith in goodness in such times. What to do in such times? How to control our brain? So these are different questions which are asked. And there is one five-year-old boy, Harita Jonnala. So her son is five-year-old and he's asking a question. Why are we born here? Maybe I think he has got a lot of homework. So he's asking this question. Why are we born here? Okay. So how to overcome anger, how to overcome negative thoughts. I've answered this in the last session also. So the answer is same. The answer is we have to create a shield around us. We have to create a shield around us. So have you seen the military men or in olden days, the kings, they would have an armor around. Yes, they would have an armor. And even if an arrow comes and shoots or a bullet comes and shoots, it will not enter. The person will be protected. So that armor they would wear whenever they would go for war. In our life, every day is a war. And I told this in the first session itself. We all have got Kurukshetras in our life. Every day we fight. Every day. Sometimes we fight with our mind. Sometimes we fight with our spouse. Sometimes with the kids. Sometimes the relatives, boss, friends, colleagues, etc., etc., etc. So many people around. So many things around. We struggle. We fight. So every day is a fight. Every day is a Kurukshetra battle. That was only 18 days battle which happened on the Kurukshetra. But then when it comes to our life, every day is a Kurukshetra. So when people, when those people, the soldiers who are going on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know what they were doing? They were wearing a shield. They were wearing armor when they were actually going to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So when it comes to us, we are also entering the battlefield every day, every single day. The time we open our eyes, the battle starts. In fact, I would say the battle doesn't end anytime. It just starts in the morning and it goes on even in the dreams. Even in the dreams, people keep struggling, isn't it? I'm sure all of you will be getting these dreams of falling from a cliff, going to the office and you're late for a meeting, or you're late for some exam, something. Some or the other dreams will come, isn't it? So the point that I'm trying to make is we all are entering the battlefield, but unfortunately, no one has taught us how to put on the armor, how to put on the shield. We all need to put on the shield in our day-to-day life. As soon as we get up, the first thing that we have to do is put on the shield. This is what we have to do. And what is that shield? What is that protection? What is that armor? I'm talking about practicing spirituality, practicing bhakti. So when we are starting our day with spiritual practices, two important practices in our day-to-day life that we have to do is, first, is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra early morning to start our day with. Most of our volunteers who are contacting you, and many, many people in ISKCON, they all do meditation in the morning for 2 hours. Early morning, 5 to 7. This is the time everyone chants in ISKCON. 2 hours. Yes. So they all do meditation for 2 hours. So everyone starts their day by putting armor of Hare Krishna Mahamantra around. And when someone starts practicing like this early in the morning, chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then reading few verses of Bhagavad Gita, like in all our courses, all our sessions, we are discussing so many shlokas, so many concepts. So when we are reading Bhagavad Gita, we'll come across those concepts and then we'll be able to imbibe those in our day-to-day life. So chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra every single day, starting our day with that, and reading a few verses, maybe some few pages, say 4 or 5 pages of Bhagavad Gita, this will be like putting on the armor. This will be like putting on the shield. Or it will be like covering ourselves with a huge, thick lead shield. And then nothing of this world can harm us. It is said that the bullet from the gun and the words of anger leave the source and kills the person. That's what most of the time happens with us. So when people get angry, when they speak angrily to us, it's like, look, yeah. I'm gone. The bullet has entered my heart. This is how people be. This call is hurting, right? This call is hurting. Now, the person has spoken from a distance. Say, some 5 meters distance, the person is speaking. And from there, he speaks. And you're like, oh, I'm gone. That's what is our behavior. That's what is our feelings. So, if there's an armor, the person is speaking. And we'll be like, ah, theek hai. It hardly matters. My goal is not this. You speak whatever you want. How long will you speak? Until your mouth pains? Keep speaking. It's okay. Keep speaking. Whatever you're saying, I'm not that. I know that internally. God knows that internally. Krishna knows that internally. My guru knows that internally. Then why should I really bother about your words? This is called as a very, very elevated consciousness understanding. So when we have day-to-day practice like this, the armor that we wear that will enable us to ignore and forgive and forget everyone around who are hurting us, who are betraying us, and who are doing so many other things with us. In fact, this is a very, very deep topic. I'll be taking this separately in one session called Who is Pulling My Strings? I guess this is the 7th session of our Gita course. So I request all of you all, please don't miss. In fact, I would say don't miss any of the sessions henceforth. The first two sessions, you know, was okay because we just discussed about the setup of the battlefield and other things. But now from third session onwards, it's going to be very deep. And anyone who understands these concepts of Bhagavad Gita that we're going to discuss from third session to ninth session, surely that person's consciousness will raise to a very higher level. And this I'm saying from my personal experience and from the experiences shared by all my students from last few years who have attended the Gita course. So I request all of you all to make sure you're there in the sessions, you know, without fail. Don't miss any sessions. So I hope the answer is clear. Wear the armor every single morning by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reading Bhagavad Gita. So let me take from chanting section. So from the chanting section, we have got some questions. So let me read out all the questions because the answer, now I would like to give the essence of all the answers. How to be focused, enthusiastic and obedient to do mantra meditation for a long time. Okay. So this is by Bhumika. Then Maumita Bishwas, she's asking this question that how many times we should chant Mahamantra in a day? Okay. Then Pradeep Kumar is asking, what is the right time for puja in the morning and evening? Surya Prabha is asking how to control the mind while chanting the Mahamantra. Ananya Potar, she's asking how to control our thoughts while chanting. Oh, these are similar questions. Then Bharat M. Iyengar is asking, what is mantra meditation? I practice Gayatri Japa every morning and also I keep chanting Hare Krishna mantra whenever I remember God. Almost few times in a day. It's my practice from childhood. Okay. Then Rachana Sharma is asking a question. I have been chanting Gayatri Mantra every day. Started from last year. I have started chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as well. But want to understand, how do I go about this? Whether to stop chanting Gayatri Mantra and continue Maha Mantra? But I've experienced the power of Gayatri Mantra and feeling the power of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay. So these are some questions related to chanting. So I'm sure most of you will be having these questions. We should thank all these personalities who have asked these questions for us. So first, when to chant the Maha Mantra? There is no restriction of time. You can chant any time. But you'll be most benefited if you chant early in the morning, especially between 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. That is Brahma Murta time. So actually, Brahma Murta in India starts approximately around 3:40 in the morning. And it goes up to 6:30 or something like that. So if you can do our spiritual practices in this, it will be very beneficial. But that doesn't mean that if you don't do in this, then I'll not do in the entire day. There are some people who give reasons. See, Prabhuji, you told in the class that we should do in Brahma Murta. But then my office ends at 2 o'clock at night and then I sleep. I get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not able to do in Brahma Murta. So if I don't do in Brahma Murta, I feel it's an offense because you have told to do in Brahma Murta. So better I feel I shouldn't do. So such reasons cannot be given. You know, this is like our mind tricking us basically. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed, ideally, if possible, we can do our spiritual practices early in the morning before starting our office work or before starting any household work between 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, sometime like that, 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Anytime that suits us in between that. Suppose because of our office work, because of the night shift or whatever, second shift or whatever it is called as. Because of that, we're not able to get up early in the morning, no problem. As soon as we get up, we take bath, we do our spiritual practices of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reading few pages of Bhagavad Gita and then start our day. Simple. We can do that. So this is one, that is when to chant. Ideally, before we start our daily activities, we should do our... this is called a sadhana, that is chanting and reading. It's called a sadhana. So we should do our sadhana before we start our day first. Second, how to control the uncontrolled thoughts in the mind? Arjuna also had the same question. Arjuna asked a question, not to Krishna. So he says, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramati balavadridam. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayor eva sudushkaram. So Arjuna is telling Krishna, he's telling that, oh Krishna, I can control wind. Arjuna says, vayor eva sudushkaram. I am able to control the wind. I can control the wind. That power I have. But Arjuna is saying to Krishna that, oh Krishna, I cannot control my mind. Can you imagine what Arjuna is saying? Such a great personality is saying, I'm not able to control the mind, but I'll be able to control the wind. We can also control by, you know, switching on the fan and off the fan. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking of a whirlwind sort of wind. Arjuna is able to control that. He has that power, but he's saying that I'm not able to control the mind. If Arjuna cannot control the mind, then what to talk about us? So does that mean there is no hopes? Yes, hopes are there. Hopes are there. So what is that? Let me discuss that now. So now these uncontrolled thoughts which are there in the mind, now is just the trick of the mind, nothing else. Normally what happens is when we start chanting, so whatever we are attached to in our day-to-day life, those thoughts will come in our mind. Like for example, few of my students, they keep telling that they get office work and the deadlines as thought process. Again and again, these thoughts keep coming again and again. Sometimes people think about those people who have blasphemed them last night or the day before. So whatever, whichever people have hurt them, so they plan saying, how can I hurt them back? How can I take their revenge? Or during our chanting, the other thing that happens is planning for the entire day. So sometimes people say chanting is the best time to plan for the entire day. So let me tell you, these are the tricks of the mind. So mind has got two wings. Mind has got two wings. One is the wing which flaps in the past, and one wing flaps in the future. And both these wings make us fly either in the past or either in the future. None of them actually allow us to be in present. There's a corporate saying, what is that? Being in the present, being in the moment, something like that. People use this phrase or this line. So being in the moment, what do you mean by that? Being in the present. So when we are chanting, now we have to tell our mind that, no, I'm not going anywhere now, nor in the past, because I cannot change the past, nor in the future, because I don't know the future. So what is the use of going to past or going to the future? So now, I request you that please allow me to chant peacefully in the present. And when you're chanting, so when you're chanting, say 108 times. So someone asked, how many times should we chant? So we should chant 108 times. That will take 10 minutes. So when we're chanting, 108 is an auspicious number. So many of you might ask, why 108? So it's an auspicious number. There are 108 great rishis, 108 Upanishads are there. The distance between the earth and sun, it is the multiple of 108. Krishna's principal wives were 108. Principal gopis were 108. So like this, 108 is a very, very auspicious number. So 108. So when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so at that time, we should tell ourselves, let me hear this mantra now. On the first beat when you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Move to the next bead, next count. And then again you're telling, let me focus on this mantra now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tell your mind on the third bead, this is the last mantra. Please cooperate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like this we have to trick our mind. Keep tricking the mind. Out of 108 times, now maybe initially we'll be able to hear only the 5 mantras attentively or 10 mantras attentively. But with practice, we'll be able to listen to more than 50, 60, 70 mantras also. So it needs practice. So many of the people say that, Prabhu, I'm not able to focus on the Maha Mantra, so I'll not chant. No. We are not great sadhus that you pick up the beads and you start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then the light from you comes from your heart and the light from the top comes and there's a merging of two lights. No. We are not mystics. We are not great sadhus. We are corporate professionals trying to earn our livelihood. That's what is our position, isn't it? So that's not going to happen to us. We need practice. Our entire life is disturbed. We are in complete disturbance, isn't it? Right from childhood, we are disturbed. No, disturbance of homework and disturbance of, this lesson has to be learned, that lesson has to be learned. Now in corporate life, and we have come out this deadline, that deadline. So many things are there. So many things. So when all these things are there, mind always remains disturbed. And all glories to the big screen and small screen videos. I mean the TV series and the daily soaps and movies or whatever. So all that put us in more anxiety and more disturbances. So all those things, we'll keep reminding ourselves and things like that. Or it comes naturally, those thoughts will come. Naturally, we are disturbed. So in this disturbed situation, we have to prioritize chanting first. So when we are chanting, we have to tell ourselves that this is the most important thing that I'm doing. This is the most important thing that I'm doing today. This is the most important thing of my life. Now let me give the first priority. And when you give the first priority to it, and when you start chanting with that mood, begging and praying to Krishna that please help me, O Lord. Now I cannot chant without your mercy because it's your holy name. How can I chant without your mercy? Please, please help me. Please help me. So with this begging and praying mood, you know, when we pray to the Lord and when we start chanting, then we'll be able to focus much better, much better. So in this, and the best thing is if we chant in the association, like when we all come together on Thursday evenings and Sunday evenings, you know, we are able to focus a lot, isn't it? So when we have these satsang, chanting together, that actually helps us a lot. So in fact, we have a daily chanting session. So after a few of our Gita course sessions, I would share the link of that. All the ones who are interested can, you know, join the early morning 5 o'clock chanting sessions. So for 2 hours, the chanting goes on. So anytime you can come and anytime you can leave, you know, it's up to you. So many of the volunteers who are, you know, coordinating here for Gita course, they all come together in the morning over Skype and they chant. So something like that, that will surely help. So hope this answers regarding when to chant, how many times to chant, 108 times. So best is on the beats, if you can chant on the beats. So maybe in the next session, next to next, I'll teach you all how to chant on the beats. And as of now, you can use some counter, digital counter or something. And the third thing is how to control the mind, trick the mind. And secondly, prioritize chanting first. And thirdly, try to chant in the association of like-minded people. That will really help. If all of you, husband, wife, kids, come together and sit together and chant, trust me, there'll be so much of positive energy in your house. So much of positive energy. Try and see. No, you'll understand what I'm saying. Next part of the questions that I read was about the Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra is very powerful, no doubt about that. Omkara is very powerful. And many other mantras in the scriptures are very powerful. But the point is, you cannot chant any time of the day. Mm-hmm. And you need qualification. Firstly, you should have taken Diksha, you know, for chanting Gayatri. You cannot chant Gayatri just like that. Okay. So that needs qualification. That needs purity for chanting Gayatri Mantra. And Gayatri Mantra cannot be chanted loudly. It has to be chanted in the mind. And it cannot be chanted in a dirty place. You know, you have to be somewhere in the temple atmosphere, in a very clean place, surrounded by clean and pure people. Now, it cannot be chanted where, you know, some TV is played with some Bollywood song, and then you're chanting Gayatri and moving your head and then, you know, dancing with all your body. This will not work. This will not work. In fact, there'll be a lot of offenses. A lot of offenses. So Gayatri, suppose someone is pure also, and if he's chanting Gayatri, so Gayatri will take us to maybe this level of spiritual progress or elevation. But the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you know, takes us to a very, very high level of elevation, which we cannot think also. Because Hare Krishna Mahamantra is meant for this age of Kali. It's meant. This is a medicine. So every age has got a medicine. So Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the medicine for the age of Kali. So as I already said, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Shoda Shakam Nam Nam Kali Kalma Shanashanam. Natha Parataropyayaha Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate. So this particular shloka, which we have been quoting from the first session of Gita course, it says that after searching all the Vedas, all the Vedic scriptures, so Vedic scriptures also contain Gayatri Mantra. So Gayatri Mantra is not of only one type. Gayatri Mantra are of many, many types. Yes. So after my Diksha, you know, I've been given, you know, there are some 7 Gayatris to chant. So Gayatri Mantra is basically needed for deity worship and other things. So that's different. But then the Hare Krishna Mahamantra gives the qualification, makes the person qualified and gives and helps the person to become qualified and break the cycle of birth and death. Right? So it is said that after searching all the Vedic scriptures, this one Mahamantra, this great deliverer mantra is found, which can counteract all the evil effects of Kali. So this Mahamantra chanting is the best chanting. There is no need to chant any other mantra. No need to chant any other mantra. If we just chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, even when you're doing aarti, when you're doing some, you know, good rituals at your home, any activity that you're doing, if you're chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that is enough. No need of any other hymns, Vedic hymns or whatever. For all that qualification is needed, and we are not qualified. Please understand. In fact, we can keep chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra while cooking. know, you can chant. While washing clothes, you can chant. While taking bath, you can chant. While doing your office work, suppose it's monotonous, keep chanting. Don't chant in the meeting time. No, it will be difficult. So when you're writing something which is monotonous, keep chanting. When you're doing household work, grooming, cleansing, vessel washing, keep chanting, keep chanting. But exclusively, we have to take out time early in the morning and then sit and chant. Or any time of the day. If you don't get that early morning slot, no problem. At least sit, you know, any time of the day, at least for 10 minutes and chant 108 times the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And you will see the tremendous impact of that. Tremendous change. Tremendous change. In fact, already many of you are texting our volunteers and many of the messages I've got saying, I've already started chanting for these many minutes and I'm seeing so many changes already. Me and my son, we both are chanting and there's so much of positive effects which I'm seeing. Someone already said that I'm able to overcome my anger to a very great extent. I'm feeling energetic. I'm feeling positive. The negative thoughts are driven away. Already so many of you are already texting. So why not we take it more seriously and follow the recommendation that we gave in today's session. And chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hope this clears your doubt regarding the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now let me take the questions on karma. So, no, karma is always a hot topic. There'll be n number of questions, you know, when it comes to karma. So here we have Devaki Radha Krishna. So she is asking this question. Thank you very much, Guruji, for giving a wonderful and simple answer of grains in a jar, which cleared and clarified half part of my doubt. But still, there is another part that if this karma depends on previous karma, and that karma depends on its previous karma, and it will generally go on unless and until it is controlled by someone, which is obviously God or Krishna. Then karma is also controlled by Krishna. So there is no role for humans. What is this contradiction? So can you please clarify this? Now, this is her question. And Krishnan Santana Gopalan is asking, why should God create bad people and man accumulate bad karma? All creation could have been good and no cycle of birth and death. What is the reason to create bad people in the first place? And there is some anonymous person with some number. So this question is, why so many prayers go unanswered and God give you mostly hardships for almost 25 to 30 years? What can be done to, one, reigns God's love and presence in our life? So very deep questions again. Anyways, you know, most of this will be answered in the karma session, but still I'll answer so we can repeat, you know, when we take the karma session. So, you know, trying to answer this question of about karma, is it controlled by God? Are our activities controlled by God? So let's try to answer this question. So I'm just thinking from where to start because it has got a great background, which we'll be covering in a few sessions later. So okay, let me make a very superficial statement. So we have chosen to be here in this material world. We wanted to be here, so we are here. And one important thing that we all have to understand is Krishna has given us free will. All of us has got free will. All of us have got free will. So now this free will actually is given to us so that we can decide on how can we live our life. So our past karmas, which are there, now that we have chosen, we have done those activities. Now, some people say, why God created bad people? There were no bad people as such created. So Krishna created good people and then, you know, Bhagavad Gita was given along with that. But then now the ones who are following Gita and living their life accordingly, they are called as pious people. And the ones who are not following that, they are the sinful people, simple. So Krishna does not make any difference between any people in this world. In fact, he is situated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, good or bad. He's there in everyone's heart. That is his equipoise nature. He sees everyone equally. He doesn't make any difference between anyone. So the point that I'm trying to put forward here is, Krishna has given us the Bhagavad Gita and we have to follow that. So that those are the instructions of Krishna. That is a manual. Krishna gives the instructions. And Krishna says, if you follow this, your life will be very nice, very happy. You'll be able to live a very peaceful and a very happy, satisfying life. And you'll be able to break the cycle of birth and death and attain, go back home back to Godhead. This is what Krishna says. Now, when it comes to, does God control? No, God does not control. If God controls, then there is no concept of karma. Why then there is a concept of karma? Then we are punished for unnecessary unnecessary thing. If God is controlling everything, then why we should be punished? No, God does not control. So God actually gives us the free will and he says, you decide. And why God gives us free will? Because he loves us a lot. Wherever there is love, there is no control. Please understand. Wherever there is love, there is no force. So God loves us so much, so much. We cannot think also how much he loves us. He loves us so much that, you know, he has given us the free will. Do whatever you want. But then in between, he keeps telling us, don't do this, beta, don't do. From Paramatma, as a voice from within, he says, don't do this. And how what do you think? Why you all have registered for Gita course? How did you all register for Gita course? There's only one reason. Paramatma within inspired you. That made you click that registration link and then you filled in the details. It's not you who did that. So Krishna actually inspires that, do it. And then if the person abides by that instruction, then, you know, he'll be very safe. You know, he'll be able to do good activities and break the cycle of birth and death. Right? So Krishna does not control our activities. Krishna gives us a free space. And then, no, he says, do whatever you want. These are the instructions. If you follow these instructions, you will live a happy life. If you don't follow, you know, these are the repercussions. So both are given. If you follow, what will happen? If you don't follow, what will happen? But then, unfortunately, many, many people, they don't have the knowledge of what to do and what not to do. People, they listen to the mind. I feel. Many people say this, right? According to my opinion, I feel. These are the different lines that people use. But what you feel and what is your opinion, it hardly matters, right? Because we are human beings, and you know, we are human means to err. Now, error is part of human life. You know, we are bound to do mistakes. So how can our feelings and our opinions be absolute? No. So Shastras, like Bhagavad Gita, they give us what to do and what not to do. So when you follow that, you know, things are very simple, right? So the one line answer is, God does not control anyone and God does not create bad people. He creates people and then he gives the life manual and then people have to decide. People have to decide what to do. Should we follow or should we don't follow? Even now, many of you are attending Gita course. So Krishna will inspire you. Every day Krishna will inspire you that please chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Take from me. Now it's a challenge. Every day all of you will get this inner voice saying chant. You have heard, please chant. This inner voice will come. And on Sundays and Thursdays, you know, you'll get that voice again saying, attend the session, attend the session. This is, many, many people have already felt this. Many people have experienced this. So this is very normal. This will be there. So now the point that I'm trying to make here is that all of us have to somehow or the other listen and resonate with the inner voice and, you know, the voice of Krishna given in Bhagavad Gita. Then our life will be very simple and nice. Hope this answers your question and makes it very clear. Maybe, okay, it's already 8:20. What questions we have? Okay, some questions related to Mahabharata and Shloka memorization. So I hope you have heard that audio which was there, which we had posted in the group. So similar audio, some 3-4 audios we're planning to post. Per week. So you all can listen to that audio repeatedly and see the text of Bhagavad Gita. Then you'll be able to Bhayhat that shloka in no time. In no time, you'll be able to Bhayhat the shloka. So you know, all of our volunteers, they're putting a lot of efforts to help all of you all. So you can hear those audios attentively and then you'll be able to Bhayhat the shloka very nicely. So now it's already 8:21. So I don't want to extend the class. So for next 8 to 9 minutes, let's get immersed in chanting. Let's get immersed in mantra meditation. That's the essence of all of our practices. And all everything that we have heard, if we have come to the decision of chanting, then it's fruitful. Then we have understood the essence of Bhagavad Gita.